Jalen Green continues to break NBA records left and right. Jalen and Josh Christopher making NBA history together with their performance against the Minnesota Timberwolves. Steven Silas gets ejected. Alperen Şengün bodying Karl Anthony Towns in the paint. KJ Martin skying above the rim. All of that and more. Plus, some very crucial wins in favor of the Houston Rockets race to the bottom of the standings coming up right here at Locked On Rockets.
This is Mission Control, Houston.
Ignition sequence start.
With the second pick in the 2021 NBA Draft, the Houston Rockets select Jalen Green.
T-minus 15 seconds. Guidance is internal.
I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep getting better every day. I'm going to keep perfecting my craft. And every time I step on that floor, I'm coming.
Six, five, four, three, two, one.
What's up and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin, native Houstonian and also host of Locked On NBA Mondays. Be sure to follow along on Twitter at JT Gatlin and also the show, of course, at Locked On Rockets. Man, what a weekend slate for this Houston Rockets team. Jalen Green continues to break NBA records left and right. Jalen and Josh Christopher make NBA history as the first pair of teammates to do something pretty incredible. We'll get to that in a moment. Steven Silas gets ejected for getting angry in the middle of a basketball game, showing the most upset that I've ever seen Steven Silas during a live basketball event. My goodness, going to get talk about that. We'll talk about Alperen Şengün putting in work in the paint against Karl Anthony Towns on both ends of the floor. We'll talk about Usman Garuba and the flashes we've seen out of him over the weekend, both against the Kings and in this game against the T-Wolves. And hey, some wins that are going to help the Rockets out dearly when it comes to the tankathon standings. We're going to get into all of that. But first, got to let you know that today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Now, oh man, it was just a good weekend to be a Houston Rockets fan. There's just so much exciting stuff going on. And at the core of it, at the heart of it all, is Jalen Green. Because he continues to break NBA records left and right. He continues to do things that we haven't seen in a couple decades at the NBA level. Namely, his 30-point streak continues. So Jalen Green walks away from this game against the Minnesota Timberwolves on an insanely efficient 31 points. 31 points on 12 of 18 shooting, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. 3 of 6 from the charity stripe. You'd like to see that number be a little bit better, but hey, when you're 12 of 18 shooting from the floor, I'm honestly not going to complain. Two rebounds, five assists. Didn't have any steals or blocks, only the two turnovers. He had arguably one of his best games of the season just because it was such an efficient outing. And it's been really cool to watch Jalen like hit the big numbers over this last stretch of 4 or 5 games or so, this last stretch of 6 games where he's averaging 29 points a night on insane efficiency. It's been great to see. There have been a couple evenings though where like the actual like shooting percentage numbers have like varied, right? Where he goes like 9 of like 24 or 10 of 20, 25 or something. And so it was great to see him have a really, really efficient night in this one, in conjunction with the fact that Josh Christopher also had himself an absolute game in this one. 30 points, a career high for Josh Christopher. 30 points on 11 of 14 shooting. He scored 19 of his 30 in the fourth quarter as the Rockets were mounting their comeback against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to do a break down a little bit of the game flow, kind of what happened there in that fourth quarter, what led to Steven Silas's ejection, right? All of that. I'm going to get into that stuff, but Josh Christopher, 5 of 7 from the charity stripe, walks away with 3 rebounds, 2 steals, just a really insane performance from him. Some really spectacular finishes. Jalen Green and Josh Christopher become the first pair of rookie teammates in NBA history to score 30 plus in the same game. Say it with me now. Rafael Stone did not miss with this year's NBA draft, or I should say last year's NBA draft, but the fact that the Rockets walked away with steals in Alperen Şengün and Josh Christopher, thank you, Rafael Stone. In Stone we trust, right? Just anyways. Jalen Green's game, though, was, you know, exactly what we kind of come to expect from him, right? He put up a kind of like a quiet 31, right? Like you look up and you're like, whoa, Jalen just hit 30. And it feels like he did it really kind of quietly. He's finding ways to score so fluidly within the flow of the offense. It's not disruptive whatsoever. He takes his shots and he's also so unselfish, right? There was a play late in the game as the Rockets were kind of mounting their comeback. They had managed to cut the lead to 8. T-Wolves come back down. They get a bucket. It goes back to 10. And then they're out in transition. And Jalen Green catches the push-ahead pass in transition and looks like he kind of has almost like a clear driving lane to like go up and maybe try to force a bucket, get the and one opportunity at the rim between, you know, just one defender between him and the rim. And instead, he takes a quick power dribble towards the rim like he's going to elevate and try and dunk over somebody and then shovels the pass off to KJ Martin, who comes streaking in from the middle part of the lane and just completely dunks it home, wide open dunk. Jalen Green's unselfishness, even though he is the best scorer on the floor for this Houston Rockets team, bar none, he is the most talented offensive option right now for this Houston Rockets team. He is still so unselfish with the basketball. And seeing that right now in his rookie year, when it would be very, it'd be very easy for a player in his position, right? Into the season, right? The Rockets aren't playing for anything. They're going to be a bottom three team. It would be very easy for Jalen Green to just be selfish, to just be worried about getting his buckets. He could be out there trying to get 40 pieces every single night, but no, he is still playing team-oriented basketball. He's still committed to trying to play the best brand of basketball he can. And if that means he's going to get a 30-piece every single night, he's going to get a 30-piece. If that means he's going to walk away with 15 points and 12 dimes, he's going to go out there and rack up assist after assist after assist if it's the right read and the right play to make on the floor. That's just the kind of player he is. And the fact that the Houston Rockets have that, the fact that they got that at number two overall, I don't know how you can't be excited about the future for this Houston Rockets team and excited about Jalen Green's future as a down the line NBA superstar, because those are the flashes we're seeing out of him. Jalen Green now has 4 30 point games in a row. The last rookie to do that was Allen Iverson back in 96, 97. Over 20 years, the last rookie to do it before AI, a little guy named Michael Jordan. So that's some rare air to be mentioned in if you're Jalen Green, some very elite company to have mentioned alongside your name, and just shows that what Jalen Green is doing is not normal. This is not something that you should take for granted just because it's the end of the season and because the Rockets have played, you know, a couple teams that are a bit lower in the standings. These have been some competitive games that Jalen Green has done this in, right? Against the Spurs, back-to-backs against the Kings, against a Timberwolves team that is playoff-bound, right? These have been some NBA-level competitions that he's racking up 30 burgers in night after night after night. Not only that, there have been 17 total 30-plus performances by NBA rookies this season. Jalen Green and Josh Christopher account for 7 of those 17. So the Rockets account for 7 of those 17. Jalen Green has 6 of those. He has more than a third of the total 30-point games by rookies this season. That is absurd to think about. The next highest two players on the list, Cade Cunningham has 2 30-point games, and Trey Mann has 2 30-point games. Jalen Green has more 30-point games than those guys times three. And that's how many 30-point games he has. It is absurd to see the growth and to see just how comfortable Jalen Green looks on the floor. And truly, after getting an NBA offseason under his belt and coming back next season, it's going to absolutely be scary hours for the league. Coming up, I do want to talk about Josh Christopher, though, because he had an amazing performance as well, scoring 19 of his 30 points in the fourth quarter as the Rockets were mounting their comeback against the Minnesota Timberwolves. We're going to get there after a quick message from my friends over at Built Bar, because look, when it comes to protein bars, you've got to check out Built Bar. They are the number one protein bar on the market. They've got so many incredible flavors to choose from: raspberry, strawberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, my personal favorite, coconut brownie chunk. You can't go wrong with a single bar on their menu. Every bar is low-cal, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber. Amazing if you're on a keto diet. Amazing if you're trying to cut back, lose a little bit of weight. You can check them out. Just go to built.com and use promo code LOCK15 for 15% off your very next order of the best-tasting protein bars on the market. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at built.com. And continuing on here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Now, let's roll along. We'll talk a little bit about the game flow there in the fourth quarter, especially where the Rockets really started to mount their comeback and where Josh Christopher, where his game really took off in this one. But I will say, apologize for the bit of tardiness on this episode. I'm trying my best to not like miss anything, because this is actually, believe it or not, the second time that I've recorded most of this episode. I got 2/3 of the way through my first recording late Sunday evening, and by late Sunday evening, I mean early Monday morning, and my Xfinity decided to die out in the middle of the night. So I took a quick trip to Whataburger, as one does in the middle of the night when you lose your internet. So, but with that, I'm trying to like make sure I cover my bases and hit the same points that I hit in those first two segments. Thankfully, I didn't finish a third segment, and then I had to wait for the whole deal. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about that fourth quarter burst by the Houston Rockets, spearheaded by one Josh Christopher, who had some absurd finishes in this game, right? He had the one tail end of the third quarter, I think it was, where he went up, and that was kind of like the start of, I'm gonna be completely honest, the officiating was pretty horrendous most of the night. Like, the Timberwolves were getting away with a lot of physicality on the defensive end. They were getting some ticky-tack calls offensively. And you could tell, like, the Rockets were frustrated by it. Steven Silas was frustrated by it. It was a frustrating game. And Josh Christopher had a drive tail end of the third quarter where he went up, I believe it was against Okogie, and he manages to elevate, finished through a ton of contact, didn't even look like the ball was actually going to, like, connect with the iron. Somehow it kind of bobbled its way in and dropped through. And you could audibly hear Josh yell at the referee, "That's a foul!" Like, just vehemently, just heated, right? And that continued well into the fourth quarter. Josh mounted his run. He had a ton of buckets in the fourth quarter, scoring 19 of his 30, just really trying to put the team on his back and be that spark plug, that energy to kind of incite the Rockets comeback. And the Rockets got it down to about 8 points after trailing by as many as 23. Got it down to about 8 points and had a lot of energy. Toyota Center was rocking. They were bought into this, and things kind of, you know, boiled over off of a pair of possessions where Alperen Şengün was whistled for an offensive foul on a drive that, honestly, you know, it could have gone both ways. I think it should have been a fair call, because Al P was doing that kind of veteran move, right, where you screen, you wall somebody off in the paint so that the guard or the wing or whatever can drive past you and have an open lane to the bucket. But he was kind of tangled with Cat at the same time. So it was one of those where, you know, in the heat of the moment, it looked like it probably should have just been a play on, a no call, whatever. But then the following subsequent possession, Jalen Green goes to the bucket, gets knocked down midair by Karl Anthony Towns. No call, no nothing. And then because of the way that the collision happened, the ball kind of came down and like bounced off of Jalen as he was like out of bounds, because the ball hadn't actually gone out of bounds yet. So it was going to be T-Wolves' ball. It was a whole like kerfuffle. And suddenly you hear the referees blowing their whistles, and you look up and Steven Silas is irate. He is charging midcourt. He's finger waving. He's yelling. He's pointing this, that, and the other thing. He is pissed off. The most upset that I've ever seen Steven Silas in my years of covering this basketball team. And it was a great thing to see, because Steven Silas is usually so like even keeled on the sideline. And even if he's upset or whatever, he's just, you know, he's very much just kind of calm, cool, composed. You know, he does kind of wear his emotions on his sleeve a little bit, but not necessarily in the vocal variety, right? Like, normally he's just, he's still, you know, he's up and down the sidelines, you know, yelling at the referees, fighting for his guys, all of that. But to see him walk out there and really get after the refs because of what he believed to be unfair treatment of his players in this game after the bad call or the no call, you know, what should have been a no call on Alperen Şengün, and then the subsequent, you know, no call on Jalen Green after just a really physical game where the T-Wolves were getting away with a lot of stuff on their end. It was great to see Steven Silas go out there and kind of fight for his guys. And I mean, he went out there and he earned that ejection. He was all the way opposite bench on the floor, waving his finger around. It was it was kind of surreal to see. And you know, so shout out Coach Steven Silas for defending his guys. He went into post game and he was just like, yeah, you know, usually I'm pretty good with the refs, but tonight was different. And yeah, no, the amount of, you know, calls that went against the Rockets, the amount of no calls, all of that. I commend Steven Silas for going out there and really trying to fight for his guys, because that's what a coach has to do. And you know that that, you know, kind of earns you points with your players, right? Knowing that he has their back. And in this game too, another example of Steven Silas's trust with his players and kind of having their back is they made a defensive adjustment late in this game to stop doubling Karl Anthony Towns, because Alperen Şengün wanted to check him himself. And that was something that Al P apparently told Steven Silas in the huddle, where he was like, I've got Cat. Like, let me get Cat. And Steven was like, all right, you want him? You got him. So Al P was able to start checking Cat one-on-one and did a pretty effective job on Cat, all things considered. Like, as far as, you know, as far as Karl Anthony Towns is concerned in this game, right? Like, you know, 28 on 12 of 16. Yeah, he was, you know, kind of getting his, but it's one of those things where when you have like great players like Cat, you're never really going to like stop them, so to speak, right? All you can hope to do is kind of like slow them down, make life difficult for them. And Al P did that. He was a physical presence in this game on both ends of the floor that Cat had to deal with, because Şengün was a monster on the glass in this game. So first off, Şengün had a double-double at halftime. It's the first double-double for a Rockets rookie since Yao Ming. So again, Alperen Şengün breaking some, not breaking a record, but revisiting some old records a la Jalen Green as well. Just another feather in Rafael Stone's cap that he hit the nail on the head with every draft pick in this year's NBA draft. But Al P finished with 14 points, 15 boards, 4 assists, had a block, 5 of 7 shooting. Didn't get enough touches, I felt like, in the second half offensively. But overall, a really promising game from him, because you really saw the physicality, because of those 15 rebounds that he had. Ooh, pardon me. Of those 15 rebounds that he had, 6 of them were on the offensive glass. He was really at points out muscling and just being, you know, completely physical with Karl Anthony Towns down low, really bullying him inside the paint for some of these rebounds. And that's exactly what you want to see out of Şengün. I know there have been maybe some concerns about, right, his size, how big he is in comparison to some of the other like legitimate bigs of the NBA, right? The Jokic's, the Embiid, Steven Adams, whatever, like those big bodied centers. But Al P does his work early. He understands how to read the basketball, kind of where it's going. He boxes out, he fights for position. He does all the little stuff that you have to do to be successful. And hey, maybe if Al P was, you know, 2 or 3 inches taller, if he was a true 7-footer, he wouldn't have to do some of that early work and he'd be able to just coast off of being, you know, as big as those other guys, but he's not. So the fact that he's willing to put in that work and do the dirty work and really grind stuff out, grind out those extra possessions for his team, that's huge. And not only that, we had one of our nightly Alperen Şengün, you know, ridiculous passes in this game, because Al P hit, he hit Jayshon Tate with just an absolute dime. I mean, that's all they are, right? Is Al P has these highlight reel level plays, these dimes that he dishes up. And it was like, he drove in a little bit on Karl Anthony Towns, kind of got to the elbow. And then like the Timberwolves defense was like, yo, why is this guy like trying to drive in on Cat? And they kind of like shaded over towards him. And then Jayshon Tate just cut in baseline. And Al P was like, oh, I've seen this. Like, he was like, I knew you were going to cut baseline like 15 minutes ago. Like, I've been waiting on you, Jayshon. And as soon as Jayshon Tate starts cutting baseline, Al P just flips the pass behind the back, so nonchalant, wraps it kind of around Cat, hits Jayshon on the money, and he goes up for an easy 2 at the rim. It's just, I can't say I've become numb to it, but it is so, so exciting every single time Al P has one of those passes, and he just continues to have these really impressive evenings. And it's been great to see him have these opportunities to be the starting big and seeing the numbers that he can kind of walk away with when he is the starting big. But coming up, want to share final thoughts from this game, as well as the pair of wins that are really going to help the Houston Rockets as far as their tankathon aspirations. We're going to get there after a quick message from our friends over at BetOnline, because BetOnline.net is your number one source for all of your sports betting needs and info. Find all the latest sports developments, including this week's Masters Championship odds, podcasts, and reviews for all the different leagues this season. Look, We got NBA playoffs right around the corner, not for the Houston Rockets. Obviously, we have a different playoffs here in Houston worrying about the tankathon, which we'll talk about in just a moment. But if you are worried about the NBA playoffs, you got to be wondering who's going to be the NBA champion, right? Right now, BetOnline has the Phoenix Suns plus 300 to come away as the title favorites this season. Milwaukee Bucks checking at plus 575, Brooklyn Nets at plus 700, and then Boston Celtics and Golden State Warriors rounding out the top five at plus 750 a piece. Now, you can head to Bet Online to place your bets on those championship contenders. Head to their website or use your mobile device to learn more about the trends and action available to you. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And final segment here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast, home for everything Houston Rockets basketball. Final thoughts from the Houston Rockets weekend slate of games. I want to talk a little Usman Garuba, kind of his play across both games against the Kings Friday and the T-Wolves, and then also Kevin Porter Jr., an area of slight concern maybe from this game against the Timberwolves. And then we'll get into the tankathon stuff, but very quickly on the T-Wolves side of things, Anthony Edwards is a straight bucket, man, and he is such an exciting player to watch play. Obviously, there's you know, firm reasoning for why Rockets fans kind of hoped that Jalen Green could be on an Anthony Edwards kind of curve as far as his career is headed, because he struggled early in his rookie campaign, really, really picking it up as of late. Exactly what happened to Anthony Edwards, really finished his rookie campaign with a strong note. And in this game against the Rockets, I mean, he had 33 points on 12 of 21 shooting, 4 of 12 from the 3-point line, 5 of 5 at the charity stripe, 4 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, like just filling up the stat sheet. He's an uber athlete. He's a highlight reel waiting to happen. There's reasons why you want to compare a player like that to a Jalen Green, right? And at one point, right, it looked like Edwards had really hurt himself in this game. And that was like my heart like sank for the Timberwolves, because like the T-Wolves team hadn't been, you know, to the playoffs since the Rockets dusted them in the first round back in 17-18. And like, this is a T-Wolves team that I kind of really like enjoy, right? I appreciate everybody on this team. I will say that in the moment during the whole Steven Silas kerfuffle, Karl-Anthony Towns was acting a bit of a fool out on the court, kind of, you know, cheering and yelling and all that stuff. And, you know, Cat might have a little bit too much dip on his chip right now, because he hasn't done a whole lot to be walking around acting like he's, you know, the king out there on the court. He needs to get to the playoffs and maybe win a series before he starts talking all that mess. But he was extremely complimentary of the young Rockets core after the game, saying that they fight, they play hard. It might not have equated to a lot of wins this season, but they don't care. They go out there and they fight, they claw, they scrap, they play hard every single night. And they kind of caught the T-Wolves by surprise, because they were up big and the Rockets did not let off the gas. They fought their way back into the game and the T-Wolves had to close it out strong. So shout out to Kat for giving the Rockets their credit. There was also that moment early in the game where Jalen Green and Karl-Anthony Towns, like Jalen went up to secure a rebound from Kat. And I mean, they both like, they were tied up in there, because Jalen Green's not afraid of anybody in this NBA, in this league, right? And so Kat kind of gave him like a pat, you know, as a sign of respect after Jalen was hustling for that rebound, led to a jump ball, all that good stuff. So, you know, people were taking exception to Kat kind of acting a bit of a fool during the Steven Silas ejection. But I do appreciate Kat after the game and in moments like that, right, showing signs of respect for his fellow player. Overall, I like Karl-Anthony Towns as a player. Like, I don't have any issues with him. That said, back to the Houston Rockets side of things, Usman Garuba, who has, you know, shown some flashes in the minutes that he's gotten in this game, walks away just 6 boards, 6 points. You know, you're not asking Usman Garuba to do a lot when he's on the floor. You just want him to go out there. You want him to rebound. You want him to hustle. You want him to play hard. You want him to play good defense. And he had a moment, right, where you saw it kind of the flashes of what he's going to be able to look like defensively when he really starts to, you know, get his feet underneath him. And he had a switch on D'Angelo Russell where he was just, the timing of it was impeccable. It was like he was moving in sync with D'Lo. Every like head fake, every shift, everywhere he was, like D'Lo was not getting anywhere. And then even when he went and did like the pump fake at the end of the, after he picked up his dribble, Usman Garuba didn't bite on the pump fake, just used his ridiculous wingspan, just held the arm up, and D'Lo had to dish the ball to somebody else. And it wound up, unfortunately, being a bucket because somebody cut at exactly the right time and D'Lo was able to hit like a little pocket bounce pass and it was an easy 2 at the rim. And you can even see like Usman Garuba was so frustrated afterwards. He was like, you know, arms to the side because he locked up D'Angelo Russell, like, on the perimeter. So it's those flashes out of Usman Garuba that you have kind of come to expect a little bit and maybe be, you know, optimistic for what he looks like in the future. And then against the Sacramento Kings, Garuba walked away, was still starting, obviously in place of Alperen Şengün, who did make his return in this game for the Rockets with his double-double with his play. But Usman Garuba against the Kings had 14 boards, 3 assists, 2 blocks, no points, like kind of a Dennis Rodman-esque impersonation against the Kings. And that's exactly kind of like the stat line that you're looking for out of Garuba. Now, ultimately, he's going to have to be able to hit a 3-point shot to survive in the NBA. He's going to have to be able to roll hard to the rim and at least finish like lobs or finish strong at the rim. If you've got insane dynamic guard play, like from Jalen Green and Kevin Porter Jr., you can't be a complete net negative offensively unless you're about to become a year in, year out DPOY level player. And while it's enticing to think about that possibility with Usman Garuba, because you see the flashes there, he's not quite there yet, right? So you want to, he's just very raw offensively, like completely raw offensively. But you still, it's very exciting to see the minutes that he does get on the basketball floor. Kevin Porter Jr. in this game against the Timberwolves had 21 points, 6 of 14 shooting, 4 of 10 from the 3-point line, 5 of 5 from the charity stripe. Overall, solid night offensively from KPJ. Did have 8 assists, but he had 8 turnovers. And I think that's an area where you look and there's I don't want to blow it out of proportion, right? KPJ's been a lot better with the basketball this back half of the season. It's just worth noting that he walked away with 8 turnovers in this one. Some kind of sloppy passes here and there. Maybe you credit the Timberwolves defense, active hands in the passing lanes, that kind of thing. But overall, just an area to kind of monitor with KPJ, because that's been an area that he's worked on so hard this season, is really getting to a point where he is consistent with his reads, making the right smart pass, clean, easy decisions with the basketball. So just, you know, again, you want to see that 8 turnovers situation be a little bit better. And LP too with the 5 turnovers is a little high. Obviously credited, you know, some offensive fouls in there, I believe, I think 2 of them. So not necessarily just like, you know, turnovers via passing, but that's kind of to be expected when you are a playmaker, right? You're going to rack up some turnovers if you have the ball in your hands as much as KPJ and Alperen Şengün do. So I don't want to harp on them too much. An overall impressive Rockets game. They fought their way back into this game. Obviously, Jalen Green and Josh Christopher making history. Alperen Şengün, his return to the lineup. Welcome sight to have him back in the fold for the Houston Rockets. Usman Garuba showing the flashes. This young Rockets team is very, very exciting. And with that, we got to talk about the tankathon situation at hand, because just it worked out in like the Rockets lost their game, which is just perfect. And then not only did the Rockets lose, but Oklahoma City won and the Detroit Pistons won. Like, what a perfect day for tankathon simulations, because now it's looking like it's turning into a 2-man race to the bottom between the Houston Rockets and the Orlando Magic, currently tied up at 20-59 apiece, whereas Detroit and OKC are now 3 full games back of being the worst record in the association. So I think it's a very safe bet that it's going to come down to Orlando and Houston as one of the worst teams. Hopefully it's not a tie. Hopefully the Rockets can lock down that worst record spot. But the Orlando Magic are doing some just straight up egregious tanking right now to try and get that number one overall pick. So with that, I got my post-it note up on my monitor now finally to remind me to do the tankathon spin at the end of the episode. I needed that last season. Let's spin. Let's run these numbers. Ooh, this is a weird one. Okay. Yeah, this is a super weird one. Portland jumps up 5 spots to number 1 overall. Houston stays at number 2. Indiana jumps up 2 spots to number 3. And Washington jumps up 6 spots to number 4. Orlando drops all the way to number 5. That is why you don't get rewarded for egregiously tanking at the end of the season. Let that be a lesson to the Orlando Magic. Now, with that, with the Portland Trailblazers, you know, it's kind of a mystery as to what they're actually going to attempt to do, whether they want to maybe trade that first overall pick for an established, you know, caliber player to pair with a Damian Lillard and quote unquote retool around Dame this season. But to keep things not super complicated, all I'm going to do here is I'll just draft, I think, the most ready-made player to impact an NBA team right away. So I'm going to send, I'll send Paolo Banchero to the Portland Trailblazers, because I think he's the player who's going to walk away the most ready to impact an NBA team right from the jump. And yeah, so we'll send Paolo Banchero to Portland, and that leaves the Houston Rockets with their choice of Jabari Smith Jr., Chet Holmgren, or Jaden Ivey. And I swear I don't rig it this way, like, so that the Rockets can get Jabari Smith Jr. every time, but I am still firmly in the Jabari jungle. I do read all the comments on the YouTube channel, right? So if you have an argument against Jabari Smith for the Houston Rockets, let me know in the comments, right? Do you want Chet? Do you want Jaden Ivey? Should I have sent Chet to Portland so that I could have taken Paolo Banchero number two overall to the Houston Rockets? Let me know in the YouTube comments, but I'm going to pick Jabari Smith Jr. with this number two overall pick for the Houston Rockets. That's going to be it for today's episode. Oh, no, it's not. Oh my goodness. I almost forgot. I had it in my notes and I had to talk about it. KJ Martin, his head was above the rim on that one dunk. It was the most ridiculous thing that I've ever seen. One of the most ridiculous in-game dunks. His head was at the rim. It looked like he double jumped in real life. If you ever played a video game with double jumping, it looked like Mario just he made contact and just kept going up. It's like he had to stop at the rim. It's like he's levitating when he goes to dunk. So I'm sorry, I had to get that bar off before we wrapped up the show, but that's going to be it for today's episode. If you haven't done so yet, please consider subscribing wherever you listen to your podcast, Apple, Spotify, Google, the brand new Odyssey app, free and available on all platforms. Also, be sure to check us out on YouTube. Search Locked on Rockets on YouTube. Like, comment, subscribe, all of that. How are you feeling about the number two selection that I made in this one with Paolo Banchero going number one overall? Would you go Chet Holmgren? Would you go Jaden Ivey? Do you want Paolo Banchero on the Rockets? Let me know in the comments. I do read each and every one of those, but as always, thank you so much for watching. Thank you so much for listening. We look forward to having you back right here at Locked on Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.